welcome to worship at Advent. You will notice that Dara's not here this morning. She is ill and was told just a little bit ago that she was being taken to urgent care. So let's pray for her. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we lift up Dara and ask that you would be her protector, that you would bring your healing touch to bear on her physical body, O Lord, that she would be strengthened by your presence in this moment. And we give you thanks for that, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Grant to us, Lord, we pray, the Spirit to think and do always those things that are right, that we who cannot exist without you may by you be enabled to live according to your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
First lesson this morning is taken from Genesis. Though God makes him wait, Abraham is promised the ultimate blessing, an heir of his own body and blood. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him aside outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's join together in reading of the psalm. It's found on page 4 in the bulletin. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. Happy the people he has chosen to be his own. The Lord looks down from heaven and beholds all the people in the world. From where he sits enthroned, he turns his gaze on all who dwell on the earth. He fashions all the hearts of them and understands all their works. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him, on those who wait for him, his love, to pluck their lives from death and to feed them in the time of famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Indeed, our hearts rejoice in him, for in his holy name we put our trust. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us as we have put our trust in you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Second lesson is taken from Hebrews. It is not the delivery of promises that brings about transformation in the faithful, but the waiting for the fulfillment of God's word. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were also heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham even thought he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was unable to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sands on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel of our Lord according to Luke. I'm reading from Luke chapter 12, and it's a story. It's a time in the life of the disciples with Christ when He is teaching them to live a life of preparedness and to accumulate those things that really are of value, starting at verse 32. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. Whether he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief would come, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You too be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." The Gospel of the Lord. This week, as I was beginning to read and pray about the message that I would share with you, I was struck in the first reading, Genesis 15, that Scott read, with one verse, which it says, "Fear not, Abram, I'm a shield to you." And then secondly, when we did the psalm in unison, it also talks about the Lord being a shield for us. And so I want to talk about that. And specifically, I want to speak about the priceless shields that the Lord puts in our life. There are many different places in the Word where the Bible talks about shields. Psalm 3:3, "You, O Lord, are a shield about me, the glory, my glory and the one who lifts my head." Many verses that talk about that concept that God is a shield to us. To understand it a little bit, I would like you to fast forward from Genesis through the Judges to David, to the time of Solomon. When Solomon dedicated his temple, or the temple to the Lord, it was an outrageously amazing event. And when it was all done, when the offerings were made, the presence of God came down so heavily that the priests who were there ministering to the Lord couldn't stand. They were overwhelmed by God's presence. So Solomon built that temple, but he also built a palace for himself. Now, in that day, you did not have a man cave. But he did provide some amazing things. One of the things that he did was that he decorated the palace with ornamental shields. I want to read about that briefly from 1 Kings 10, 16 and 17. "King Solomon made 200 large shields of beaten gold, using 600 shekels of gold on each shield. He made 300 shields of beaten gold, using 3 minas of gold on each shield, and the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon." Now, when you try to understand what that means, he made 200 large shields, and scholars will say that each shield had about 15 pounds of gold. Think about that. Today, if you were to buy gold, you buy it by the ounce. So he had 200 of these large shields with about 15 pounds of gold. He also made 300 smaller shields that had about 5 pounds of gold each. So this was a tremendous indication of the wealth and prosperity that Solomon had. Leaders came to his palace, to his temple, to see and to hear what he had to say, because he was known for his wisdom. So it was the ultimate in Israel of what God's people could be. They were the head above other nations in that time. But then in one generation, everything changed. Solomon died. Israel was divided into two kingdoms. It became a time of judgment. It became a time of surprising compromise. They'd been at the heights, and now they were at a very different place. The people had forgotten. It says in 1 Kings 14 about the next king, King Rehoboam, it says this, starting in verse 25. Now it happened in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, who was the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. Listen to this. He took away the treasures of the house of the Lord. The temple was filled with gold and silver and other ornamental stones that were deemed to be precious. He took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and he took everything, even taking all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. So King Rehoboam made shields of bronze in their place and committed them to the care of the commanders of the guard who guarded the doorway of the king's house. Then it happened, as often as the king entered the house of the Lord, that the guards would carry them and would bring them back into the guard's room. So here's what happened. The ultimate in Israel's history was during Solomon's reign. The next generation, everything changed from awesome and powerful to starting to be a vassal of other powers. Think about the shields for a minute. Solomon's shields were made from gold that wouldn't oxidize or rust. They were considered temple shields. They reflected eternity because they wouldn't change. Versus Rehoboam's shields, which were bronze or brass. Bronze is an alloy of copper and zinc, and it looks just like gold. It's wonderful in appearance, but it oxidizes, and in order to maintain its appearance like gold, it has to be regularly polished and repolished, or it will deteriorate in appearance. Bronze gave the appearance of wealth, but it was deceitful. So think about that. In one generation, all that was lost, when Shishak came and took away, really plundered the king's palace and the temple of its riches, what do you think King Rehoboam would do? Well, obviously, he would do what we will do in a little while. He would get on his knees and say, Lord, please forgive me. We failed. I come back to you in humility. Would you restore what out of my foolishness I lost? He didn't do that. Instead, he replaced the real with what was really a facade of the real. Everything seemed to be the same, but at heart it was not at all the same. Things had changed. Think about your life, the life of a typical Christian. You come to have an experience with God where you know that Jesus is real. You invite him into your heart, and all of a sudden you realize that you're a new person. The past is over, and you get to start your life again. It's a joyful time. Your life has been transformed. That's how it was in Solomon's day. All of a sudden, the past didn't matter. We were at our apex. But then what can happen is that challenges come into your life. Your life doesn't unfold the way that you thought it would. You have disappointments. And then you can feel like, God, where are you? I thought you would always be my protector, that you would always be here. And then challenges happen, disappointments happen, financially, relationally, physically. And so we can drift away from God a little bit because we're disappointed that he didn't meet our expectations. We still do the things we did before. We still are fairly active in church. We believe all the yada yada that the minister says, but it isn't personal anymore. It's more tradition than it is my experience, my understanding of who God is in my life. And that's kind of what it was, going from gold shields to bronze shields. Everything looked the same, but it wasn't the same. And it was a powerful transformation. Now think about in your life what that can be like. It's true also that many Christians have never seen the real thing. They've been around Christians, but they've never seen the reality of who God is and what he can do in a person's life. So think about our priceless shields. I believe that the shield verses in the Bible really are talking to us about what God will be and do in our lives. First of all, I want to identify for me, and I hope that you can relate to this, three precious, priceless shields that God gives us. First, the Word of God. In 2 Samuel 22, 31, it says, "As for God, his ways blameless, the Word of God is tested. He's a shield to all those who take refuge in him." The Word of God is a shield. We live in a culture that in many ways is not a Christian culture. You may seek to live as a Christian, but our culture has a very different spirit than you have as a Christian. And so the challenge is, how do I live in an age that not only denies in many ways the God of the Bible, but mocks him? How do you live in such an era when what we believe is ridiculed by many? Court cases have come against Christians who are trying to practice what they believe, and it can be a real challenge. Well, the Bible is a word for us, is a shield for us that says, I see what's happening here. I see what's happening here about how values are changing in society, that there are no absolutes. It's whatever feels good to me at the moment is my reality, my truth, and therefore it should be validated. But the Bible says that isn't the case, that there really is a way to walk and a way to live. And when we hear the word, as when Scott read the word, when you read your Bible yourself in the morning, that word is a shield to you. It protects you against what you see in society, some of what you see on television, on the web. Wait a minute, that's not in harmony with the Bible. So I have a shield that guards me against the deception of the world. To me, that's a powerful reality that the spirit of the age will not dominate the Holy Spirit of God's word, because it's a shield for us. So God's word. Then the second shield that I believe that he gives us is his presence, his personal presence in our lives. When Solomon dedicated the temple, the Spirit of God came in a powerful way. When Jesus was getting ready to leave his disciples, he said, "Guys, I won't leave you as orphans." I have mentioned this before, but when Tammy died, I bought a plaque for my wall that has that scripture, "I will not leave you as orphans." And for me, that was a promise from God's word that even though my life was dramatically changed when Tammy died, I was not alone. He would not leave us alone. When Jesus was getting ready to leave, he said, "I will send the Comforter, that is the Holy Spirit, who will be with you and will teach you all things." That's the reality of God's presence. God is not just someone that we look to in the past as Jesus, a great teacher, but he's a present presence in our lives that guides and guards us. The Lord in a vision said to Abram in Genesis 15, "Do not fear, I'm a shield to you." He didn't say, "I will teach you tradition." He said, "I'm a shield to you. I, the Lord, am a shield to you." When you come to the Lord, when you receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit as the Bible promised, then you have that presence of the Lord in your life on a daily, moment-to-moment basis. It doesn't mean that you don't have crises, that you don't go through challenging times in your life, but it means you have the shield of God's word, the shield of his presence where he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. To me, that's a powerful thing. I don't go simply by my feelings. I don't go by the latest poll. I go by what God's word says and the indwelling Holy Spirit teaches me. So those two shields, God's word and God's presence, and a third one that I believe is virtually just as important is personal holiness. In Proverbs 2:7 it says, he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity. Doesn't mean that you don't fail. My brother and I were out last night in his convertible, and it's hard to stay under the speed limit in a convertible with 60s music playing. And that's where we were. Of course we fail, but the point is that we have a pathway to follow. And the Bible says that as you follow my pathway and walk in holiness, that you can expect that I will be with you. That walk of holiness is a shield to you against other possible pathways that you might take. And holiness simply means, scripturally, being set apart. You are set apart. Doesn't mean you won't have flaws in your life. It doesn't mean that you won't have disappointments in your life. But it means that you are a set apart one, and that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And as you seek to walk in integrity, that walk of integrity is a shield to you, because it becomes a practice to do the right thing, that you understand as a child of God that you are not driven by whatever feels the best at the moment. I set my alarm on Sunday mornings for 5 o'clock, and there is no way that I want to get up at 5 o'clock. I didn't want to get up at 7, but point being, because we have a pathway that we follow, we have this is how we do things. We follow with relative integrity the way of God. Then we tend to do the right thing, because we can look back and see the pathway that we've walked, and we intend to walk like that in the future. That walk of holiness leads to fruitfulness in God, and it's a shield for our lives. So think about that for yourself, that you have three really protective shields. They're defensive: God's word, God's presence, and your own walk of holiness. And when I talk about holiness, we're always talking about what the Lord has done in our life, how he has equipped us to walk in a way that is above the circumstances of our life. So when you think about bronze shields as a facade, it looks the same. Don't ever allow yourself or your church to imitate the real thing. Always be the real thing. Here are, to me, are ways that you can think about what bronze shields might be like. It might be like a church that allows a liberal interpretation of God's word to be made, where what has changed is God's word ought to say about things like gender, ought to say what makes me feel good about myself, rather than what was revealed in the books of Moses. A liberal interpretation says that I'm above God's word, I will interpret it, rather than believing that God's word is above me and I will want to live under it. Dramatic difference. Another example of a bronze shield might be seeing church as a social club. Of course we do fellowship. It encourages us to be together with one another. But the church is much more than a social club. It's a testimony and a witness to the world of the living reality of who Jesus is, of the vital reality of his word in our lives, and the fact that there really is a way to live that reflects the honor of who God is in our lives. And thirdly, another bronze shield is hypocrisy. It is not hypocritical to try to live for God and fail. But it is hypocritical to try to present a life that my marriage is unflawed, I'm successful in all I do, I don't have struggles with my thought life or in my relationships with other people. Of course you do. We fail in thought, word, and deed. We'll say that in a few moments. Of course we do. Hypocrisy says, I'm an island, I'm fine, I have no flaws. And what happens then as you go on, you can drift further and further away from the reality of God's word, of who he is in your life, and of the pathway of holiness that used to be central in your life. So as we close, my question is it possible that in your life that the enemy, Shishak, the king of Egypt, has come in and stolen your inheritance, which is the gold shields, the shields of God's word, God's presence, and God's holiness? And if so, be insistent with the Lord. Lord, I want to come back to you. I want to come to that place where I have a first love relationship, as John talked about in Revelation. I don't want to depend on what happened a generation ago. I want a first love relationship in my life today. Psalm 3:3, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. I want to live under his glory, under his shield, and the one who allows me to see beyond my circumstances into eternity. So I encourage you, during these maybe more slower-paced days of August, that you make sure that you are living the Christian life that you always wanted to live, that you are living based on gold and not on bronze. Let's continue our faith as we stand together and confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
This morning's prayers of the people are Form 3, found on page 6 of your bulletin. Please join with me as we pray. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church, that we all may be one. Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you, that your name may be glorified above all people. We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons, especially Archbishop Welby, our presiding Bishop Curry, our own bishops, Hollingsworth and Love, and for Pastor Paul, that all may be faithful ministers to your word and sacraments. We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of this world, that there may be a justice and a peace on the earth. Give grace to do your will in all that we undertake.
We find favor in your sight.
We ask especially that you remember all those listed in the bulletin on the prayer list, and we especially ask that you add to that Dar and Dave Liptak. Have compassion on those who suffer for any grief or trouble, that they may be delivered from their distress. Give to the departed eternal rest, and let light perpetual shine upon them. We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy. May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom. Let us pray for our own needs and for those of others. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement that you have provided in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthening you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Share that now with one another. Lord bless you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Peace be, guy. Good morning. So let's start with the shadow here.
First off, Max, you got something to say to us. Come here. Some information on David.
Yeah. Just wanted to let everybody know I got in a phone call that David Luptek has had a stroke last Tuesday. I got a call from his daughter-in-law, Rhonda, on Friday, I believe, and said he's at ICU at Southwest General. Said he's not doing very well. Basically, for us, it's our obligation to lift him up in prayer. I'm not sure where he's going from here on, but I guess he wasn't. She said they're not accepting visitors right now because he's irritable, all sorts of situations that can come with a stroke. But at least wanted to spread the news that he needs our prayers. And I did hear that she said she would call me in a couple days to kind of update me. So stay tuned.
Thank you. We'll keep David in our prayers. A couple things on the junior warden schedule. We lost our cool about 2 weeks ago, but somebody has donated a new freezer, and that'll be delivered tomorrow. So we'll have a freezer back in the hall for whatever we need to put in there. Downspouts and gutters, you may have noticed out front, we don't have groundhogs digging up the front yard. That's an actual plumber we have out there. Scott Such, our plumber, has been trying to tie in our downspouts to our drain system, because one of the things I wanted to accomplish this year is putting new gutters on the building. And the front of the building, the downspouts were never tied in. So he's looking into that. Having limited success, but he's working on it, and he's also going to get that catch basin in the corner of the parking lot over there and replace that. There's a lot of things we take for granted, like Dar coming in here leading a choir, the altar guild setting up the church, Paul's fantastic sermons every Sunday. For myself, that can't carry a tune, one of the things I love is organ music. And Bruce, you fill in when Dar isn't here and when Dar is. Would you please stand up? I want to thank you for all you've done. You're over here during the week practicing, and you provide us with music on Sunday. Thank you. I think that's it, Dick. It's all yours.
Pete? Good morning. Good morning. One of the announcements I made last week, I failed miserably on, regarding the church picnic. Because of my error, I said it was going to be next weekend, which is the 17th. That is incorrect. There is a wedding going on that same weekend, so I am deferring on that one. And we'll have the church picnic here the following weekend, which is in 2 weeks, which is the 24th. That's a Saturday night. So if you want to come and bring a salad or bring dessert, we'll provide the brats and the hamburgers and have a good time. Secondly, we're going to have the first annual Advent golf outing, which will be September 6th. That's a Friday night at 5 o'clock. It's going to be at Mallard Creek out in Columbia Station. This is open to the men and the ladies. So if you'd like to participate in this, the cost is $19 for 9 holes and a cart. That's the senior rate. I need it. So does Scott, so does Jerry, and a few others. We'll have dinner over at Bootleggers, which is right adjacent to Mallard Creek, so it's just across the parking lot. We had have sign-up sheets that have gone around. If you're interested in playing, let me know or let Joanne know or sign up on the sign-up sheet so that I have a count that I can report to Mallard and we know how many are going to be there. Right now I have spots for 12 players, but if we need to add, that's fine, or reduce, whatever. So you're all invited. Thank you.
Good. Thanks, Pete. Because Dar's not here, we're going to sing just one communion song, the second communion song. So if we need to repeat it a couple times, we may need to do that. So just make note that during that time, it'll be the second selection in the bulletin. Somebody got a bit wordy in the adventures and launched off onto an explanation of baptism, confirmation, renewal of baptismal vows, and reception in the Episcopal Church. The reason for that is, first of all, the first article there relates to everything coming out of the Book of Common Prayer, so that's all standard stuff that you can get in the Book of Common Prayer. But the reason that I chose to do that kind of as a lead-in is because from time to time, some of us forget what confirmation really is all about or what renewal of baptismal vows means or what baptism is. And so I thought I'd start with that because we also have planned an opportunity for Bishop Love to come with us. And we want to have that coincide with confirmation and hopefully baptism, perhaps renewal of baptismal vows and reception in the Episcopal Church. So that's why I had those four sacraments kind of lumped together in the first article. Denise and I are beginning to work on a confirmation program. The second article invites people, family, friends, to join us in the preparation for confirmation. So if you are interested, if you have family members who are interested in confirmation or baptism or reception in the Episcopal Church or renewal of baptismal vows, please make that known to Joanne. We'll run these articles for a couple more weeks so that people have a chance to see it. But it's an opportunity for baptisms, confirmands, and those being received and renewed to have hands laid on by Bishop Love. So it's an opportunity for us to kind of build to that crescendo. Maybe just a word about the renewal of baptismal vows. The Episcopal Church in the Book of Common Prayer includes that in its activities as kind of a means for those who may have been in the spiritual desert for a while or have been in a cold, dry spell and feel the need to renew their baptismal vows, renew their understanding of what baptism is all about. And so people are invited to not only participate in this renewal activity, but also if you chose to do so, you're welcome to join the confirmation preparation class as well. So don't have a schedule yet for when Bishop Love would come. We need to get names first and foremost and then lay out a confirmation schedule, and then we'll have to work that into his travel plans. But I certainly have been in touch with Bishop Love and his office already, and they're on board to that. And in fact, they provided us with a lot of information about what Bishop Love once included in confirmation classes and what he uses in his diocese. It's just another example of the Spirit of God is on that man. So we will have, today is the second Sunday of the month. We'll have intercessory prayer after the 10 o'clock service. We have a sign-up sheet in the table near the rear entrance to the church. So add a first name under any of the prayer categories that you'd like, and we'll lift them up in prayer not only today, but for the next month. There will also be someone to pray with you during communion. Ray's going to be back there, I think. And one final note, as many of you know, Father Joe was at one time with Food for the Poor, traveled around making presentations on Sundays and basically fundraising for Food for the Poor. Food for the Poor is, and certainly we've had people like Father Joe come from time to time over the years from Food for the Poor. They are now running a campaign to raise funding for the Venezuelan refugees who are now in the country of Colombia. There are something like 2 million Venezuelan refugees who have crossed the border into Colombia to get away from the poverty and starvation and political upheaval, lack of medical care, et cetera, that exists in Venezuela. So Food for the Poor is trying to address that need. So for those of you who may have in the past supported Food for the Poor or feel a burden on your heart to support this particular ministry at this time, contact Food for the Poor on their website. Finally, this coming Tuesday night is the Healing Room session. Bill Benedict and his team will be here to offer prayers for physical, emotional healing and other healing needs. So please join us at 7 o'clock on 7 o'clock, right? 6:30, which? 7 o'clock, right. 7 o'clock this coming Tuesday night. Thank you.
We're getting ready to present our offerings to the Lord and prior to the Lord's Supper, and I was thinking that during the time of the Reformation in Germany, when Martin Luther arose as a dissident, one of the distortions of offerings was that if you gave, you got a benefit back. And I'll just remind you, as you give out of a grateful heart because of what you have been given, not because you will receive anything back, but just because gratefulness overflows into giving to others, such as Food for the Hungry. It's a wonderful, wonderful ministry. So let's present our offerings to the Lord. We continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, who by water and the Holy Spirit has made us a new people in Jesus Christ our Lord, to show forth the glory, thy glory in all the world. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. We remember that our Lord, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands a cup and lifted it up in front of them and said, "Take and drink from this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace, and at the last day bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Thank you. now join together in prayer as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The gifts of God are for the people of God. I encourage you to come in faith and receive. Please join with me in prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. As you leave today, I encourage you to appreciate all the blessings the Lord has poured out upon us as you go in peace to serve the Lord.